We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Tyrese Haliburton, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Indiana, home of Pacers basketball.
Miller for three, and he got it.
Legends have been born.
Miller retreats to the three-point line.
Memories have been made.
Haliburton, a deep three for the lead.
Bam, baby!
Great basketball has been played.
Nembhard away. Hits a three at the buzzer to win the game.
In 49 states, it's just basketball.
Flips it to the big fella, fake shoots, and hits!
But this is Indiana.
Flips it down.
And you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Let's go!
Your go-to Pacers podcast.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
We got Pacers hooping. Let's talk stats. Hot takes. All facts. New topics. Updates. Three-pointers. Fast breaks. We keep scoring. We don't need to stop. New episodes. Weekly drops. This your number one podcast. Sweeping every team. We gon' need a mop.
Setting like the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Pacer Nation, what is going on? Welcome back to another episode here of your go-to Pacers podcast, Setting the Pace. And we know that today is a very special day because it is April Fool's Day. Everything you're hearing right now, you don't know if you can trust it or not. It's going to be taken with a grain of salt because it could be a joke. It could not be a joke, but it is the first day of April. NBA basketball season is coming to an end for the regular season, but the postseason is just around the corner. And here to talk with me today about the Pacers and this last month is your guys' favorite co-host, Michael J. Fauci. Fauci, the president of the Jermaine O'Neal Fan Club. How we doing, brother?
I'm doing great. I mean, Alex, let's think about this. It's April, and we're talking about meaningful Pacer basketball.
Yeah.
That is something many of our listeners might have never heard us do before. Depends how long you've been with us, but I'm happy if you have been with us for years, back when we last made the playoffs. Or if you're new to the show, it feels great to be in April talking about meaningful games.
I will say this. Even last April that the Pacers had meaningful basketball, we were during COVID. So we really weren't talking about meaningful basketball until the summer. So it's probably been like 4 years now.
It really has. And I mean, look, the Nate Bjorkgren era, it's just you want to put it in the past. But at the same point, man, a lot happens in a blink of an eye. I wish it went by that quickly, but I'm happy where we are today with the roster that we have in place. It feels that it isn't a, hey, if we don't get it done this year, it might just not happen. This feels like a team that has really grown together and can continue to grow together. But Alex, we actually have a fun topic for today, something a little bit different. You want to tell everybody what we're covering today?
Yeah. So you guys know, like when it gets close to the home stretch of these things, in terms of the regular season, there's not a whole lot we can talk about that's not repetitive. So we thought, what's a different way we can do things here today? And so we decided we're going to look at three things that we want to see the Pacers really focus on these last, seven games that they have left in the month of April to kind of get themselves ready for the playoffs. And so we're going to go back and forth giving, three different things that we'd like to see the Pacers, continue to work on these last seven games. So Fauci, I'll let you start things off for us.
All right. So, starting with I guess we could say number three on my list. I guess I'm gonna say Halliburton must return to Halliburton. I think it's incredibly crucial that Tyrese Halliburton is the guy that this league fell in love with in the beginning of the season, November, December, in specific that in-season tournament. He was like the darling of the league. And I think lately we're starting to see him come back to his ways. He scored 20 or more in four of his last six games. However, the two games that he didn't, he scores 12 and 13 points in losses to the Lakers and Bulls. So you could see just how important he is, the point where he's the Pacers are 22 and 10 when he scores 20 or more. He averages 20. So we just got to get him back to who he was, who he is. He mentioned March was a slump unlike anything that he's experienced before. But if we can just get one part of his game back, that three-point shot, it's something you and I have talked about from time to time. If you turn your milk carton to the side, you could see Halliburton's three-point shot. It is missing in action. In the month of March, he shot 27% from three. But Alex, if we just talk about 2024 in general, he's at about 32% from three. This is a career 40% three-point shooter. We want him to be at his best going into the playoffs. And I think that right now, having played 62 games, he only needs three more to hit the 65 game threshold. I don't know if part of that is could we get him a little bit of rest, or maybe it's just getting that confidence back to who he was. But the Pacers are going to go as far as Tyrese Halliburton can take him. And you want him playing his best ball, over the next seven games or so leading into the playoffs.
It is nice to hear that he only needs three more games to qualify for All NBA, but I will say this, they have seven games left and they can't afford
They
for
really
him to
can't.
miss any of these games with how close the standings are. A couple losses here, you could be in the eight seed. So you don't want to do that. So I think he'll play the next seven if he's healthy for all of them, knock on wood here, he doesn't get hurt again. But yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it's interesting that this is your number three on your list
It could
because
have been higher, for sure.
okay, because I was gonna say I don't know what your order is, but like if this is number three, like I'm excited to hear what number two and number one are because man, my expectations were pretty high. Like
He
obviously,
could be a little let down, because I thought to myself, this was very much worthy of being number one. It absolutely was, but I just feel that it's just like, man, there's a couple different things you want to happen for this team. And yeah, maybe this should have been higher, but it's definitely on my list because it is a top priority.
I was about to say, is this some kind of sick April Fool's joke? Like, what are we doing here? No, I'm kidding. Yeah, obviously everyone wants Tyrese to get back to who he once was. And the Lakers game, 21, 8, and 8, like that's a really good game. Plus 27, I believe, in that game. Like you kind of saw, like, okay, the scoring might not be as high because with the new way they're kind of officiating games for the most part, we've seen lower scoring across the league. There's still been some blowouts here and there in terms of like a high scoring point differential, like the Pacers 150 to 145. Against the Lakers on Sunday last week, but for the most part, you're seeing the numbers down a little bit, letting it be more of a physically played game. So I don't know if that's going to overall impact his statistical number. But yeah, the shot, it's been so up and down for the last couple of weeks, really since he came back from the injury. And if he can kind of just get himself going, like you said, come playoff time over these next seven games, like really lock in. That's going to be huge for him, Fauci. So I agree with you there. Like that's a great one to have on your list. I'm going to move on to my number three here, Fauci. And this is pretty basic, but it's something that I hate that it has to be said. But in this next seven game stretch, the Pacers have four games that they should be easily favored to win. They've got Brooklyn twice, they've got the Hawks, and they've got the Toronto Raptors in Toronto. They have to win all four of those games. They have to go undefeated against the teams that are bad. And they've had their way with Atlanta so far this year. Toronto has kind of had our number, but they beat Brooklyn the first time they played them, so they got to take care of business in that back-to-back, that home and road split there on Monday, Wednesday. Hopefully you can break the curse because you are going to be in the building for that game on Wednesday. And
I don't want to shatter this on your list. So the curse has to be broken with
yes.
it because we gotta handle business. And I think that's gonna be a big test. Yeah, me in the building, but I think that this Pacers team can overcome the Brooklyn Nets. I truly think that we can. So hey, please continue.
Yeah, so anyway, they've got OKC, they've got Miami, and they've got Cleveland as well in this next seven game stretch. Those are all going to be very tough games to win. So I'm not banking on any wins from that. And they have to win at least one of those three games, in my opinion, to kind of keep themselves out of play-in territory. But they've got to win these four games. There's no way they can let up on these teams right here, because I think if they can beat the bad teams, it'll make it a lot easier for them the rest of the month, where they really only have to win one or maybe one or two, but at least one to me to get you a 5-2 record in the month of April. I mean, if you could go 7-0, obviously great, and I should be shooting for higher things, but this team has been so poor against teams that honestly have been worse than them, you know? So that to me is where they really have to kind of lock in and just take care of business and not overlook the opponent, because too many times we've seen this team not handle things the right way. And I know it sounds a little bit cliche, but they got to take care of business against the lesser teams of the NBA.
No, it's time. And it's something that we've said all season. The Pacers have not done it. This is time. If you can't beat teams like Brooklyn and Toronto and Atlanta now, then you're going to have a really tough time in the playoffs. So I think that this is a Hawks team that's still hanging around. You know, they're in that play-in territory where it's like they still have stuff to play for. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn, Toronto, you might not be able to say the same thing, but we've seen the Pacers throw up some stinkers against worse teams. So I think that that's a great thing to have on your list, and it's something that if the Pacers want to make any sort of run, they're going to need to win games. They're going to need to be able to stay in – they want to stay in that top six at minimum. A great way to do that, beat the teams that you're better than. So number two on my list, and maybe this could have been below the last one, but either way, I think it's incredibly important. Play through Siakam. Establish Pascal Siakam early and often. I feel that it took time to really get into a groove with him and his teammates, whether Halliburton was out, he was the guy, they were losing. You know, the Pacers had a losing record through their first, I want to say, 10 games or so with Pascal Siakam, but it wasn't his fault. I felt that the shot attempts is something that you and I and everybody else has gone back and forth on, you know, and everybody's right to feel that way. But just a smaller sample size over his last 8 games, Alex, he is averaging 25 points per game, just over 10 rebounds per game, 55% shooting from the field, 39% from three, and he's a plus 65 during that stretch. Siakam has been everything the Pacers have asked for and more. If his number stood for a full season, is 55% from the field and 37% from three as a Pacer, those would be career highs. I feel that he is someone that is getting into the right groove at the right time, and he's also starting to get the whistle. You know, a lot of people were talking about, hey, he's not getting the same type of free throw attempts. You know, as a Pacer, in the month of February, he averaged just 3.3 attempts. This past month in March, 5.5 attempts per night from the free throw line. The next highest as a Pacer is Miles Turner with 3.1 in the month of March. It just feels that when the Pacers get Siakam established and stick with it, good things happen. And also, he's no slouch from a ball movement perspective. The Pacers are 8-4 when he has 5 or more assists and 7-3 when he has a double-double.
Yeah, when they play through Siakam, they're a much better team. And you can kind of see that shift happen in the month of March, like you mentioned, because Vaci, 21.7 points per game for the whole month. I know you said 25 the last 8 games, but if you look at the rest of the team in the month of March, Tyrese Halliburton is the second closest with 16.7. So you're talking about 5 points more per game. And if you look at the total numbers, he scored, I believe, 325 points. Just the second highest is Tyrese Halliburton with 250 points in the month of March. You can kind of see where that uptick's going. While, you know, Halliburton's played actually 22 more minutes than him for the entire month. So you're starting to see that, and he's shooting the ball really well, like you talked about, 53.8% from the field, which is great. And 16 field goal attempts per game. So you're right. He is kind of the go-to guy for this team right now offensively because of the different ways that he can score. He can bring the ball up off of a rebound and kind of set things up offensively. He can get a mismatch down in the post. He can hit the turnaround mid-range jumper. He's very, very skilled at scoring the basketball, and he can do it in a variety of ways. And because of his size and because of his ability to be a little bit more physical as a player than Tyrese Halliburton, that he can score in more ways. Like, we know Tyrese is a guy that's always, you know, capable of getting to the rim and can hit the mid-range jumper too, can hit the three, but it's a different type of way he approaches the game offensively, where Siakam, it's not pretty. It's not flashy. He just puts the ball in the basket, and it's one of those things where it's like you don't realize how many points he has sometimes until you look at the scoreboard, because – It just feels like constantly he's just coming down and attacking when he can. But there were stretches there throughout this month where he really wasn't as involved, and the Pacers usually didn't win those games. So it's one of those things where when he's on, the team is usually in a better – has a better chance of winning. They're in a much better spot when he's kind of the focal point. So I totally agree with you, and I think that's one point we've hammered the last couple of weeks. You know, get Siakam the basketball because he's too important to this team's success.
And also, it's just don't go away from him. Sometimes we're seeing it. Hey, Siakam had 8 points in the first quarter. Great. And we see kind of a little bit of a quiet second quarter. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's finishing the game with, you know, 16 points. And it's like, that's just not enough. So if it's working early on, don't go away from it. Even if, you know, he's obviously taking a breather on the bench, it's like, don't let that change your game plan for when he comes back in. Because I think that right now, this is someone that is really hitting his stride, gelling with his teammates. And I just think that this is the perfect time that you want Siakam to be in rhythm. And if we can get Haliburton in rhythm with it, which was my other point, I think that this is really going to be everything the Pacers dreamed of and more.
Yeah, that's your 1-2 punch. And if they can really get their, you know, hit their stride these last seven games heading into the playoffs, like that's the perfect scenario here. But I'm going to ask you a question to set up my number two, Facci.
Oh,
so
okay.
If you're looking at this Pacers team strictly with their bench unit, who would you say the second best player is off the bench?
I'd say it's a complete revolving door depending on the night. And I think that I already like where you're going with this, because that's the thing is, outside of TJ McConnell, who's going to be the guy? And I think that right now, I really don't know. I think that Obi Toppin could be the guy if you can get him going. I think that that would be great, because other than that, can you really count on Jalen Smith to say, all right, if we don't get 15 from Jalen tonight, then we're probably not going to win? I don't know. I wouldn't feel great about him being able to get that. So I would say Obi Toppin would be an extremely valuable player for this bench unit.
So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to set this up for Obi Toppin, because here's the thing. You know, we've had our ups and downs with Obi Toppin all season long. He's been in and out of the starting lineup. He's been kind of the guy that, you know, just seems to be in the rotation, but not always contributing as much as maybe you'd hope he would or whatever. But like, he's had some really big games this year. He's had some games where you're kind of like, oh, that was not a good Obi Toppin game. What was he doing here? Some head scratching plays. But I feel like Obi Toppin needs to really solidify himself in the rotation, because I love his athleticism. His shooting has been incredible this season, like much, much better. Like, you can see the growth that he's taken from as a shooter from the beginning of the season to where he's at now in April. Like, I'm sure you probably feel the same way, but when Obi Toppin has an open three, it's more than likely it feels like it's going to go in. So he's been a very reliable three-point shooter. And when you're looking at, you know, come playoff time, right, there's always one of those games where somebody can be an X factor. And we talked about maybe like some, one of the starters can be kind of one of those X factors. But if you're looking at someone off the bench that can come in and have a big game, I know people are probably going to lean McConnell just because McConnell's been more consistent as of late. But I feel like in a playoff series, depending on who it is, Obi Toppin could be that guy if he figures things out, because there's going to be a game where maybe Pascal gets in foul trouble or Nesmith or somebody gets in foul trouble, and they're going to need Obi Toppin to step up. I understand Ben Shepherd's been a really good defender, but Ben Shepherd's also a rookie, and we'll have to see how that plays out. But we've seen Obi Toppin have good defensive performances this year. It's not been consistent, but we've seen it sporadically. And I'm hoping that this is a great opportunity, because Obi Toppin will be hitting free agency come this summer, where he can prove to everybody, whether it's with Indiana moving forward or with another team, look what I can provide for your franchise. If you give me a chance, I can knock the three down. I can be more of a focal point, you know, with the second unit and be more of a scorer, be a better cutter, but I can also lock in on defense. So, you know, we know that Obi can rebound the basketball when he's not leaking out. So I just want to see him kind of maybe take some of that load off TJ a little bit these next seven games and kind of solidify himself with the second unit and make it to where you don't have to play Pascal Siakam 44 minutes every single game and carry that second unit when he's not out there, because there, to me, there's times when Obi Toppin can really do more than what he's doing. And I know it's kind of crazy to ask him to do more now with seven games left, but this is a great opportunity for him. And I think that the Pacers need him to be playing his best basketball if they want to have any chance in a playoff series.
I honestly really like this on your list, because Obi does feel like that player that could swing a game where it's just like, you know, you're not going to feel confident that he might be consistent in this playoff series, but could he have one big game where he does hit a couple timely threes, maybe scores 15? Yeah, I think that is very possible. And we have seen those flashes early on where there was that one game he played incredible defense against Jimmy Butler and the Heat. That was really big. And then against the Sixers, I think in the in-season tournament it might have been, or really early on, he had a really good game. So he's had some big performances at times, but I just feel that that's someone that you don't know who that second bench player is going to be. And I think it, like I said, it could be a revolving door, but Obi is that guy that knows that there is the bag on the line, as they say, heading into free agency. I think that that's someone that would want to bring his best game. And the Pacers, if you want to win, you obviously know the guys that you can count on. It's going to come down to who's that guy that steps up. And I feel that Obi Toppin has that ability to step up. So I really do like that point. So, tip my hat to you on that.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of Setting the Pace. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or simpler, EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in Indiana or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/pace to learn more and to find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/pace, P-A-C-E. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment, and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system. Now, let's get back to the show.
Number one on my list. This is something we've been begging for all year. We're starting to see flashes of it. And maybe I'm just coming off of the high of that Lakers win, you know, a few nights ago. But number one on my list, buckle down defensively in April. I would love to see this team playing some of the best defense they've played all season going into the playoffs. That way it's something that doesn't catch anyone by surprise. It's something they expect to do. Now, we have seen the Pacers get better defensively each month this year. In November, they were giving up 128 points per game. It looked like we were about to make history. Then in December, we were giving up 123.6 points per game. January, 119.5. February, 118.2. And then in March, 114.8. The Pacers have taken strides. Unfortunately, in there is a couple of big performances, like giving up 150 points to the Lakers. But then on the flip side, there were some really good signs that we saw. There was four games in the month of March where the Pacers held their opponents anywhere between 90 to 103 points. Mm. That was by far the most that the Pacers had any of those games in any month this season. So we are starting to see that things are getting right. I mean, you held the Lakers to 60 less points than just 5 days prior. So going from 150 to 90, that was a really encouraging performance. But can the Pacers do it consistently? That's something we have not seen. So you know in the playoffs, things are going to slow down. There's going to be less possessions to go around. I don't want this to be something that all of a sudden the Pacers need to flip a switch. Can we use the remaining 7 or 8 games of the regular season to really get in that rhythm and expect to get stops instead of being surprised that you got stops?
Yeah, I think you can, like you said, you've seen the growth from this team defensively. Mm-hmm. Just they're locked in. I think that they've got a better defensive lineup out there with Nesmith and Nembhard in the starting five. It does maybe hurt your offense a little bit in terms of just like the ways that they used to be able to score and find different ways to be a little bit more dynamic offensively. But I do think that while you maybe sacrifice a little bit offensively, you improve a ton defensively by putting your two best defenders out there on the court with your obviously best rim protector in Miles Turner. And then, you know, if Siakam is your fourth best defender out there, he that's not a bad fourth best defender, right? I mean, there's times where Siakam can kind of get stuck in the mud, get caught up on picks and, you know, trying to navigate screens and things like that. But overall, like Siakam, I think that he's got the ability and he's got the size and the wingspan and the capability to do it. We've seen him do it before when he was with Toronto when they won the trophy. The mm-hmm. championship back with Kawhi Leonard and things like that. So like it's been a few years since then, but I think he's kind of maybe got that he's got that eager itch to get this team to the, you know, to where they want to be at defensively. So I'm not worried about him as the fourth option. It's really like, how are they going to target Tyrese? That's a big thing. And how are the Pacers going to mask that? How are they going to cover Tyrese in these situations? So depending on who they play, you know, it's going to be harder for Tyrese to kind of hide defensively. So this is where he's going to have to kind of step up. Now, we're talking playoffs when I'm saying that. Obviously, these next 7 games, there's going to be opportunities to hide Tyrese against some of these teams, like I mentioned earlier. Not some great teams, but like defensively, now is the time, like you said, to lock in, get more comfortable with what you're running. And I think they've done a really good job improving the defense overall, but they cannot let up at all because Rick Carlisle said it best on Friday night after the Lakers game. We're talented, but we're not good enough to win on talent alone. And this is a team that has, you know, an NBA All-Star and a former NBA All-Star, most improved player in Tyrese and Siakam. But everybody else besides that, you know, they're not All-Star level players. So that's where these guys all kind of have to lock in and say, okay, we're role players, but we're ready to make a name for ourselves. And the best way this team is going, the best way for this team to win is to win on defense first and win on offense second.
It's true, though. I mean, that's what it is. And the offense that had been the calling card for so long, but it's just we've known and we've said this from, you know, whether it was early, you know, late October to November to December, that it's just, okay, hey, scoring points like this is great, but if you can't get the stops, it's not going to happen when things matter. The Pacers are to make the actual playoffs. You could make an argument that every roster out there could be more talented than the Pacers, for at least from a, you know, a top, you know, five seed perspective. If the Pacers are maybe in the sixth spot or anything of the sort, there's a lot of talent out there. The Pacers have to have guys excelling in their roles, being able to buckle down defensively, being able to, you know, grab that extra rebound, dive for that extra loose ball, stay out of foul trouble. It's all those little things. It's really, you want to be playing some of that best basketball defensively, I think, at the right time. And I think that if roles were reversed, we were seeing this Pacers team from maybe November, December or so, I wouldn't feel great about it going into the playoffs. But I think they've taken massive strides. I mean, I just mentioned it. They're giving up about 14 less points per game from March compared to November. Mm-hmm. That is huge. So I like the strides. I don't think that we're all there yet. But when you have a performance like you did against the Lakers recently, it leaves you very encouraged. So, you know, I want to see more of it, but I'm very anxious to see what do you got first on your list.
All right. So this might not be the sexiest thing, but, you know, for me, I said for the Pacers to continue the next three games, Miles Turner has to continue being the third option. Rick Carlisle has gone out of his way, I don't know how many times the last three or four weeks, saying our big three, Pascal, Tyrese, and Miles. And I think Miles has had some games where he's really stepped up and been that big three. And then there's other games where maybe he doesn't have the same level of impact. But I think, like Rick said after the Lakers game about this team not being talented enough, I think that Turner is the closest player left on this roster to being an all-star, right? He was getting definitely a little bit of consideration, not a ton of serious consideration, but, you know, getting a little love out there from like a Charles Barkley, things like that this season, mm-hmm, as someone that could be in contention for one of those reserve all-star spots, right? So I just think that this is a great opportunity for Miles to kind of solidify himself as the number three these next seven games and really have a big impact, because we can see Siakam and Halliburton have a big night, but like, who's going to be that third guy to join them? Is it going to be McConnell every night? You can't rely on McConnell to do that every single night off the bench, because Turner is going to have the ball in his hands a lot more. And I think that the pick and roll synergy chemistry that he has with Halliburton, it is special. Like, they have really figured out a way to kind of be in sync with one another. And it's kind of like they know, like Tyrese just knows where Miles is going to be at all times. But that pass that Nembhard had to Miles on that fast break against the Lakers on Friday, I mean, what a catch. He shows the ball, Anthony Davis goes by, he makes the layup. Like, that's little ways you've seen Miles Turner improve over the last couple of years, because I'd say probably 3 years ago, I wouldn't expect Miles to make that play or that read. So you have seen Miles grow. He's in his prime right now. This is the perfect opportunity. He's got a big payday coming up soon too, because he's only got 1 year left on that contract. So he's been to the playoffs. He knows what it's like, what it means for this organization to have winning basketball in Indiana. And so I just want to see him continue to step up and be that third option. And if there's a few games where maybe he has 20 plus points, I love it. Because when he shoots the ball well from outside, it opens up the rest of the game. He's still a threat out there, whether he makes it or misses it. But like, if he's hitting, it just makes this team's offense so much more deadly. You know what you're going to get from him defensively. He's going to block a shot or two there. He's probably going to get you around 7 to 9 rebounds a game. You can't really expect much more, because that's just kind of what it's been like for his career. But I think if he can continue to solidify himself as that third option, this is a great way for the Pacers to win a lot of these games over the next, you know, the next couple of weeks.
Hey, a confident Turner is a scary thing. I really do think if the Pacers can establish Miles Turner, it could go a long way. Yeah, you talked about it. You know what you're going to get out of your top two options. After that, I mean, you're hoping Turner can rise to the occasion. Been to the playoffs before, never been out of the first round. I think this is something that kind of haunts him a little bit, that, you know, Miles is ready to rock. I think that he's kind of become a man since the last time he's made the playoffs. It's been a few years. And I think that right now we've seen that three-point shot that had been a little bit, you know, a little bit of a disappearing act in the previous couple months. In the month of March, Turner shot just over 40% from three. I think that that is really where you want to be at for Miles Turner. You know, we've talked about this. You know, the Pacers are a better team when he is crashing the glass. It would be great. But I think that in playoff basketball, if Turner can be that guy that can give you, you know, maybe even 2 20-point games in a series, that could be the difference maker. And I think that in the month of April, it's going to be extremely important to get Turner going and have that carry in to the playoffs. I think that that would be, That'd be one of the biggest things for this Pacers team, because we already went through, hey, the bench, you know, you're not really sure, but I think that it takes three in this league to really be able to make an impact. The Pacers have at least two all-stars. If Turner could be that guy that you mentioned, I mean, that's the difference maker, because whether you're going to run into, you know, perhaps a Milwaukee or a Boston, or, you know, maybe it's, you know, whoever it could be Cleveland. They have guys that, you feel you could probably count on at least three of them. Indiana, you're hoping you can. Turner is hands down the closest thing to our third member of the big three. We need him.
For sure. And you know, he's going to have to play a big role depending on who the Pacers play in the playoffs too. Like, if they're playing Cleveland, like, Jared Allen's not an easy matchup. If the Cavaliers go small, how will he match up against Evan Mobley? That could be a tough matchup for him. So That's one thing I'm keeping an eye on. If you look at what the Knicks have, you know, Mitchell Robinson's on his way back, returning from that injury, and we know how good Mitchell Robinson is. And that's just a lob threat kind of guy, a good physical player down low. So that would be a tough one there. And then if they were to go small, Julius Randle comes back, like, okay, how do you match up against Julius Randle? And then if you look at Orlando, Orlando has been a team that has haunted the Pacers this season with their size. And you're hoping to avoid Miami and Philadelphia, because if Joel Embiid comes back, like, that has not been the best matchup for Miles in his career. He's gotten in a lot of foul trouble. You know, it would be cool to kind of see him overcome that, because we know Joel has been out for quite a while with the injury. How rusty would he be? But, like, we know Joel Embiid can really draw fouls, and then Bam Adebayo is just such a physically gifted center for the Miami Heat. So, like, it's not, you know, an easy task for Miles to go up against any of these guys come a playoff series. But, you know, I think Miles has that confidence in himself to really be like, I belong with this group of guys. Like, these guys aren't better than me. I'm better than them, or we're on the same level. Like, he doesn't view any of these players as better than him. Maybe he has respect for Embiid to be a little bit better as an MVP guy, but, like, the rest of the group that's probably more in his class in terms of guys will probably play. I think this is just a great opportunity for Miles to kind of, like, showcase to the world, like, okay, I'm not the same guy that I was with Sabonis, right? I'm my own guy. And he had a little bit of a platform to do it in the in-season tournament, but now, come playoff time, he's going to have a 7-game series. And I really do think if you go back to the last time the Pacers made the playoffs in the bubble, he was bad in that first game against Bam. But the next three, he was actually really pretty good against Miami as the solo center. And I think if you look at where he is in 2020 to where he is now, man, he has improved so much. So I'm kind of excited to see what that looks like in a playoff setting.
Oh, big time. I mean, it just feels like he's twice the player he was a few years ago. So that is something that I am really excited to see, because I do think that this is going to be the best Turner you'll have ever gotten in the playoffs. And I'm really excited for that, because I just think that the Pacers have had tough matchups in the past, whether they drew, you know, Boston quite a few years ago and with Sabonis and Turner, or Miami. Either way, it just feels like this Miles Turner is just ready to take on the challenge. So I'm excited for that. But you want Turner to also be kind of in a rhythm going into the playoffs. And I think that he's one of those guys that if he's playing really good basketball to end the regular season, I do think it'll translate. But it's just really important for the Pacers to be able to handle these next 7 games, be able to have things going right, because you don't want that pressure to be on them heading into the playoffs, like we saw it for Tyrese Haliburton, where it just felt like the load on his shoulders was just so much that it's like, I'm so happy he was able to shake that off in advance. But for guys like Turner and, you know, Obi Toppin, if they can get that confidence going in the regular season, it will translate into what could be some very big performances in the playoffs.
So we gave our top three there, Fauci, of things we're looking forward to seeing in the month of April, specifically the next couple of weeks, the last 7 games of the season. But I am curious, did you have any honorable mentions that you thought about putting on the list that you left off?
Yeah, you know, it was really just I wanted something to do with, like, an Aaron Nesmith. Like, if Nesmith could get that 3-point shot going what it was before. I mean, there was a moment in time, it might have been for one game or two, where Aaron Nesmith was leading the NBA in 3-point percentage. I remembered he was shooting about 50%, and then for a while he was hovering around like 47%. He was good for second in the league, and I just feel like it's been a little bit, and I feel that you know, he's always bringing it defensively. Absolutely. But Aaron Nesmith is also very much one of those players that can swing a game. That if Aaron Nesmith has some of those performances, he's had big performances this year. If he has one or two of those in a playoff series, it could be the difference between winning or losing. And I just feel that ever since he came back from his injury, he's really struggled from three. On the season, his numbers are great from three, but it's lately, it's actually each of the last few months. And, you know, just listen to this. So this is from December. He shot 53% from three in December. Awesome. January, 41%, something you're still thrilled with. Then February, 39%. And then March, about 35 to 36%. So it's gone down each and every month. But if Aaron Nesmith, you know, he's going to bring defensively. If he could bring it offensively, I think this Pacers team could take that next step.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's a good one. Obviously, everybody knows what Aaron Nesmith means to this team. And we talked about it on our last episode about just how important he is defensively and offensively. But yeah, I like that one. I will say this. There was one that I did want to bring up, and I know it was a little bit tough just because I don't think it's going to happen. We've talked about it a lot. But come playoff time, Fauci, I don't see how Doug McDermott is going to have a positive impact on the Pacers. So he gets like 2 minutes against the Lakers, doesn't see the floor the rest of the night. They go more to an eight-man rotation, which I kind of expect, you know, go to a smaller rotation because you're trying to win a game. But, like, man, I just feel like Jairus Walker, his defensive capabilities could be helpful in a playoff series. And I feel like if you look at both McDermott and Jairus Walker, who is most likely to help you in a playoff series, I think the upside has to be with Jairus Walker because he's just a better overall player. Might not be there right now all the way, but I think that you can make the case that he's already there in terms of just all the different things that he's able to do. And you're not going to rely on him to be like this guy that's going to save you or anything like that. But like I talked with Obi Toppin, I feel like Jairus Walker could come in and impact a game just like he did against the Clippers last week on the road. Like, I just feel like Jairus Walker has that confidence in himself and that little bit of a chip on his shoulder. So being the eighth overall pick, you don't expect rookies to really have that huge of an impact. But I think that with his size and his defensive abilities, maybe there's a way he could crack the rotation in a playoff series. And if he's playing well, allow him to kind of play a little bit more, play that nine-man rotation if you can, specifically if they were to play against a team like Orlando, right? Because you're going to need size against a team that's got Jonathan Isaac in the second unit, because we know what he can really do. So to me, it's just like I would just like to see the Pacers invest all the ninth man minutes into Jairus Walker over the next seven games to get him as ready as he can be for the playoffs. And if he has confidence that he's in the rotation moving forward, even though you might hurt Doug, the veteran's feelings a little bit, I think Doug would understand that.
I think he would.
You know, this is a great opportunity for Jairus, but I will just say I didn't put it on my list because we've seen the proof is in the pudding. Rick Carlisle is not going to do that. So that's why I haven't really like dove into it too much or hammered it too hard.
And that's where I'm with you, because I felt like, you know, after the Clippers game and then moving forward, I felt like, you know, when we recorded maybe after the Bulls game, I was like, you know what, maybe, you know, Jairus could get a couple minutes there. And then you just see nothing really happen against the Lakers. Just got, you know, some garbage time minutes. And I just felt like it was like, all right, you know what, it's not going to happen. But I would love if the Pacers were in a spot that maybe even the last two regular season games, if he could get some decent run to be able to get that confidence, it would make me think that there's a chance. But if he really doesn't and he's still just playing a couple of minutes here and there, it makes it hard for me to believe that Carlisle's going to turn it over to him in a time where it's actually super meaningful minutes in the playoffs. But I'm with you. The odds that Doug really swings any type of game, performances, gets really hot, it feels so minimal compared to maybe there could have been a five-minute stretch where Jairus Walker's impacting the game in terms of, you know, a rebound, a block shot, an assist, making a shot. It just feels that he's such a more multidimensional player than a Doug McDermott. But I wonder if this is somewhere where Carlisle leans on someone who's maybe been there, a veteran in that type of scenario, even though it feels like Doug McDermott isn't going to be someone that's going to be able to, you know, dig the Pacers out if they need it. Or, you know, could he hit a big shot? It's possible, but I just don't even see it happening at this moment.
Yeah, I will say for the month of March, Fauci, just listen to this. Obviously, Doug did miss quite a bit of time, but he still played about six games in the month of March. He attempted just 2.7 three-pointers a game, where Jairus attempted 1.7, but Jairus shot the ball 42.1% from three, where Doug shot 37.5. So Edge goes to Jairus on just 1 3-point attempt less. Now, listen to this. This is a big one here. In those 6 games, Doug McDermott was a -7. In the 11 games that Jairus Walker played, +35.
Wow, that's a big difference.
I know he had a big plus-minus game against the Clippers. And yeah. I'm sure that did weigh a little bit in his favor. But still, if he was out there for a bad stretch and it hurt him, like I'm sure it kind of balanced out over time. So I just feel like there's not – Doug's case has not been built at all to make it validated that he should be getting the minutes, you know, over Jairus Walker. And Dustin Dopierak did ask Rick Carlisle about this pregame against the Lakers about, like, whatever. He said, I'm not rooting for either guy, if that's what you're asking me. He said, there's not like, oh, I like Doug more than Jairus, so that's why I want him to play. He said, I just told them both to be ready, and whoever gets their number called, they're going to be ready. So, you know, like I said, I don't think that it's going to happen, but I just feel like if it's that close to me, I feel like the proof is in the pudding a little bit more that the numbers recently have favored, hey, maybe you should roll with Jairus for like 10 minutes a game instead of giving Doug those 10 minutes a game.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I looked at it right now. McDermott's played, he's made 12 appearances as a Pacer. In 9 of those 12 performances, he's hit either 0 or 1 shots.
Yeah.
So I just feel that it's, I mean, you even got to call it shot because it's not even multiple. He's had 2 good games as a Pacer. Against the Lakers, he had 14 points. And then against Toronto, he had 13 points, you know, early on his second stint. So I just feel that in many of these performances, you're talking about someone that if he's not hitting from 3-point land, there are no rebounds. There are no assists there. I mean, there's definitely no blocks. Just like, yeah, there's no defense, period. And I just feel that over his whole time as a Pacer, in those 12 appearances, he has 8 rebounds, 8 total rebounds in those 12 games. That's something that Jairus Walker could give you in just one game. I'm pulling it up right now against the Clippers alone. I mean, wasn't that I want to have my numbers straight. Okay, no, it was a 7 assists, but I just feel that it was against New Orleans that he had 7 boards. It's like, he could give you, I mean, you're not going to give him 20 plus minutes, but I just feel that you're talking about 8 rebounds in 12 games.
Yeah.
You're talking about barely any assists. I mean, Jairus Walker, 7 assists against the Clippers. He had 6 assists against the Pelicans. It's just so much more of a well-rounded player with a higher ceiling who's going to be here for years. I just feel that, who could make a bigger impact? I'm definitely leaning Jairus Walker, but to your point, I just don't feel that Carlisle is going to turn the keys over at this point in the season, unfortunately, even if it feels that it's the right move.
Yeah, I will say the good thing is Ben Shepherd has jumped over Doug in the rotation because I feel like he's just been better defensively. And I feel like if Jairus was maybe a little bit more consistent defensively, then maybe he would get the nod. But yeah, it's just really tough to see. I mean, I don't really know what to expect, but I do feel like, and I'm trying to look it up right now as I'm talking, but like in the playoffs, it felt like Doug McDermott got played out of the playoff rotation the last time he was here with the Pacers. I feel like he did not play a lot. So correct my memory if I'm wrong, but I feel like that's
no,
right.
You're right. I remember it was pretty rough. I'm pretty sure he wasn't hitting really anything. This dates back to, you're talking about that Celtics series, right?
No, this is the one against Miami in the bubble.
Maybe that's
but it still went down. He played 17 minutes the first game, 13 the second game, 15 the third game, and then 8 in the fourth game. So, and he was a negative in every single one of those games, -14, -7, -9, -6.
Yeah, he scored 3 points, 2 points, 2 points, 3 points.
10 points in 4 games.
So he shot 26% from the field and 20% from 3. That was actually McDermott in closer to his prime, if that's what you want to call it. I mean, this is about 4 years ago. So you're not getting the same guy now.
No, okay, Sabonis, so here's what it is. That's to his credit, no Sabonis, but
yes, but I also have the Celtics series in front of me now.
Oh no.
He only made 3 appearances, okay? So he went scoreless in one game. He went 1 of 3 shooting for 4 points in another game. And then he went 1 of 7 for 2 points. So you're talking about the last 2 playoff series that Doug McDermott has played in. He shot 20% from the field and 26% from the field. It's not good. It's not good. And it's been 4 to 5 years since. I just feel that the writing's been on the wall that it ain't going to get better. But, you know, we'll see. Either it's very possible that both guys are just kind of out of the rotation in the playoffs. But at the same point, you know, only time will tell.
Yeah, we're down on Dougie. I mean, I hate to say it. We are. It was one of those transactions where you're like, okay, you get some shooting with losing Buddy Hield, but it's just – it's a totally different dynamic. And whether you loved or hated Buddy, I think we can all say that Buddy was a much more impactful player for the Pacers than Doug McDermott is. So – you definitely downgraded there by losing, you know, basically Buddy for Doug. But good opportunity for Ben Shepherd, and we'll see if the Pacers can maybe find a way to get Jarrett some time. We don't know, but like I said, we spent a lot of time on this one for being an honorable mention, probably more time than we did on the other six that we did. But
yeah, we are just passionate, honestly.
Just passionate about seeing Jarrett get some time because the flashes have been something that have stood out. And you're hoping that, hey, maybe he can build off that. But I do like the way that Jarris has handled himself all season long. Even when times have been rough and he hasn't got the minutes, he's still been super positive. And love how he was in the locker room after the Clippers game. Just like, you know, he had a great game, but, man, he was giving Pascal a lot of love in the locker room. So you love the energy from Jarris and some of the voices that he has when he's getting excited. It's kind of almost like a cartoon character, the way he gets higher in his pitch. So love me some Jarris Walker. That's all I gotta say.
Hey, he's excited. Love, you know, Siakam calling him Walk. I like that. You know, it's just fun. And I think that they the best is yet ahead, and these players are excited when he's able to get that shine and be able to deliver on it. So hey, yeah, it's a great honorable mention, but I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, some takeaways. I always love to hear what are your goals maybe that you want to see from this Pacers team in April as they wrap up the regular season, when you want to be playing your best basketball. Maybe it's from a team perspective. Maybe it's from a player perspective. Mm-hmm. You could go any which way about it. But either way, I thought this was a fun one today.
Absolutely. We had a lot of great conversations, great back and forth here. So getting excited for this stretch as we get close to the playoffs. And I know you guys are all excited for us to talk about some postseason basketball, baby. It's around the corner, ladies and gentlemen. Just hang on. Buckle up. It's not going to be that much longer, and you'll enjoy it. But Focci, go ahead and let everybody know where they can find us at on the good old social medias.
Absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter at PacersPodSTP. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. I can be found on Twitter at _FACCI. You can find us on Instagram at PacersPodSTP. You can find us on Facebook at Setting the Pace. You can find us on TikTok at Setting the Pace. And Alex, tell them where they can check us out on YouTube.
Ladies and gentlemen, go to youtube.com/settingthepace, a Pacers podcast, where you will find all of our video content on there. Previous interviews with players from years past. We've also got all your post-game recaps and some of these new episodes we've been putting out. They're on the feed as well. So make sure you guys like, subscribe, and let us know what you think in the comments section. And we always try to respond when there is a response-worthy comment. So if you want us to respond to something, send a question, whatever, make a comment there. We will definitely hit you back up on there. But if you're not already, please subscribe to us on the audio platforms. Give us a 5-star rating and review over there. And let everybody know, like, hey, you got to check this out. I want to thank some of you all for tweeting at us and saying, hey, you know what? I didn't realize that if I didn't listen to the advertisements on the show, that you guys didn't get, you know, the royalties for that. So, you know what? Thank you so much for sitting through all those advertisements. I know we have about 6 to 7 per episode, so we really appreciate that. And hope you guys have checked out the Unified Health as we've been promoting that every single episode. And put that promo code in PACE there, and you guys will really enjoy that. But Focci, if you're excited for the Pacers to be back in action tonight against the lowly, the no draft picks, Brooklyn Nets, then hit me with those three words.
Let's go, Pacers!